Hey everybody, it's Rick. I want to welcome you back to the Nomad Pastor Podcast. Hopefully you guys are having an amazing and a blessed week. So this week I want to jump right in. And this week I want to talk about something. It's probably a little bit harder to talk about. And I want to talk about American Christianity. And, you know, recently I've been thinking a lot about Christianity in general. And you know, I spend a lot of time, you know, in the Word and in prayer. And so I've just really been thinking about what does it really mean to be a faithful Christian? And as I've been thinking about that, this common theme has come up for me, this common question that I have to ask. And as hard as it is, the question I have to ask is American Christianity faithful? Is it faithful in following the teachings of Christ? Let me clarify a few things. I'm not asking if Americans who are Christian are following Christ's teachings, but I'm talking about American Christianity more as an institution, not a denomination, not a, you know, hey, I'm Christian, but just the way a lot of people look at Christianity in America. Is it faithfully following Jesus? You know, I don't mean, are all Americans following? Or are all Americans that identify as Christians, if they're faithful? I think a large percentage of them are. But what I'm talking about is the American Christianity that, you know, preaches more just hellfire and brimstone and you know, you're never going to be okay, and that it's okay to put people on blast online or in public, and that says it's okay to hold a grudge or to be judgmental against people, especially people who don't believe like you. So what I'm asking a lot of the time when I talk about this, it really has nothing to do with Christianity itself. It has much more to do with the individuals that think it's okay to act a certain way and hide behind a faith as they do it. So, look, I know a lot of people aren't going to like what I have to say about this, but I think it's a conversation that we have to start having. You know, if you've listened to some of my podcasts, you may have heard me say before that for the first time in recorded history, that Christianity in America, year over year, is declining. That it's dropped below 50%. So while in America, the percentage decreases year over year, in other countries, the percentage continues to increase. And not only does it continue to increase in those other countries, it does so in places and environments that persecution is basically guaranteed. That if they are open about their faith in Christ, they're going to be persecuted. And I don't mean like people are going to ignore them. I mean, they're going to be imprisoned or put to death. I mean, in Iran, the government is among the most oppressive regimes in the world. It's illegal to leave Islam. And there, Christians face a constant threat of being imprisoned, being falsely charged with acting against national security. That's if you own a Bible. If you own a Bible or you talk about Christ, they will deem that you're acting against the national security of Iran. Christians are routinely fired from their jobs. And it's difficult if they know you're a Christian, it's difficult for you to find a job or even rent a house. You know, there are many Christians, they gather in secret. They fellowship in secret. They receive the teachings through media that is smuggled into the country. And yet it grows. And here it declines. You know, in Egypt, Christians who are outspoken about their faith are beaten and imprisoned. When a Christian is attacked or maybe even kidnapped by Muslims, the government, they don't even provide protection usually. They generally, they don't even help. you know, Christians who convert from Islam, they face the most problems, right? They could be expelled from their families. They could be divorced by their Muslim spouse, right? Like if you leave Islam and you go to Christianity, I don't want to be married to you anymore. They lose their children, they lose their jobs. You see, because they're the government issued ID cards, they say your religion, they say you're Muslim. So it's difficult for them to even attend church, to marry, to register their children for school, to get a job, or to even immigrate someplace else. You know, their Christians are charged with apostasy or proselytizing Muslims. It's crazy. But the church continues to grow. You know, I generally do everything I can to avoid talking about politics on social media or who I voted for or against or who I support or I don't support, because I try to avoid this because it seems like it's just getting harder and harder to talk about. And I personally don't feel like a politics should play a role in religion. And I don't feel like a religion should play a role in politics. I think that, you know, we have to understand what we're doing. We have to hope to understand what we're talking about. I'm going to start with a little disclaimer, right? This is my opinion, my assumptions, and my thoughts based on various subjects. I have done a lot of research, but I am speaking for myself. So as much as I avoid trying to talk about politics or anything, I'm just going to do it a little bit. Because during the 2020 election, I heard people say that if you didn't vote, that Donald Trump was the chosen one of God. He was chosen to represent and defend our rights. What does that even mean? Does that mean if you didn't vote for him that you're cursed? That if you didn't vote for the chosen one based on what a lot of Christians have said on social media, and by the way, they continue to say, what does it mean? I've read it stated a different way by several people who are Christians, that openly are Christians, that if you don't support Donald Trump, God will curse you. I've read that. Now look, that doesn't sound like Christianity that I'm familiar with. But what I've come to realize is that this statement represents what I believe is the problem with American Christianity today. I don't want you to misunderstand what I'm saying when I say that. I'm not saying that this represents Christians. I'm saying that American Christianity is different than faithfully following Christ. And there are millions of people in America that faithfully follow Christ regardless of their political affiliation. But I want to challenge people that American Christianity has taken a unique form that has very little to do with the doctrine today. You know, these fundamentals of Christianity can be found throughout the Old and New Testament. There's no hiding them. You know, in the Old Testament, Leviticus 19:18 says, "Do not seek revenge or bear a grudge against anyone among your people, but love your neighbor as yourself. I am the Lord." In the New Testament, in Matthew 22:37-39, it says, Jesus replied, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the first step of the greatest commandment. And the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself." And then, you know, Jesus adds, you know, what I like to believe is kind of like, you know, the mic drop moment in verse 40, where he says, all the law and the prophets hang on these two commandments. All the law and the prophets hang on these two commandments. How can American Christianity that openly shows that it's okay to judge and convict people, live with what I just read. Do not seek revenge or bear a grudge. Love the Lord your God with all your heart. Love your neighbor as yourself. All the law and the prophets hang on these two commands. It's pretty clear. If I try to break it down to its simplest terms possible based on Scripture, based on the Bible, which is the inerrant word of God. That word, inerrant, we should all have heard it before and understand what it means. But just in case, it means free from error. That the Bible is free from error, so it is the divine word of God. In 2 Timothy 3:16, Paul says, all Scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness. That means to be a faithful Christian, all we have to do is love God, act justly, show mercy, and walk through life with humility. I mean, that sounds simple to me. Doesn't it sound simple? You see, love is expressed in action. We show our love for God by obeying the law. We show our love for our neighbors by treating them just like we would like to be treated. So back to my question about American Christianity. Does it reflect these commandments? The ones that we read in both the Old and New Testament? You know, it makes me think about, and I'm sure everybody's seen it or done it, right? The old, let's make a pros and cons list. Let's talk about the good and the bad. The pro of this and the con of it. Well, maybe we need an old-fashioned list like this, and we put on one side Christianity from the Bible, and on the other side we put American Christianity, compare the differences. If we start with just good old-fashioned Christianity, following Christ faithfully, it seeks peace and reconciliation. We don't fight about what's right or wrong because we're supposed to love our neighbors. We don't condemn somebody for their political affiliation or who they did or didn't vote for. We don't condemn them for their personal beliefs. We just love them the way we want to be loved. But when I see what I am calling American Christianity through the eyes of social media, I see a confrontational and unforgiving nature that does not seek peace and that only causes greater division. I see people write things about their constitutional rights or so many other things. And while I agree that my rights from the Constitution are of extreme importance to me personally, they don't trump my desire to follow Christ faithfully. I cannot say negative things about somebody and still love them. I can't say it publicly and then be like, oh, I love you. You know, during the reign of Nero, Paul wrote Romans. And while some people might have expected, you know, Paul to encourage the Christians in Rome to rise up against this oppressive ruler, that's the opposite of what Paul taught us. You know, Romans 13, 1 through 7 says, let everyone be subject to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except that which God has established. The authorities that exist have been established by God. Consequently, whoever rebels against the authority is rebelling against what God has instituted. And those who do so will bring judgment on themselves. For rulers hold no terror for those who do right, but for those who do wrong. Do you want to be free from fear of the one in authority? Then do what is right, and you will be commended. For the one in authority is God's servant for your good. But if you do wrong, be afraid, for rulers do not bear the sword for no reason. They are God's servants, agents of wrath to bring punishment on the wrongdoer. Therefore, it is necessary to submit to the authorities, not only because of the possible punishment, but also as a matter of conscience. This is why you pay taxes, for the authorities are God's servants who give their full time to governing. Give to everyone what you owe them. If you owe taxes, pay taxes. If revenue, then revenue. If respect, then respect. If honor, then honor. You see, even under the control of a ruthless and godless emperor, Paul tells his readers, be subjects to the government. He tells us that there's no authority that can be established unless it is established by God. So in this world, when we're sitting here saying things like, oh, you know, the person in the White House is horrible, or the government's doing this, or the government's doing that, Paul teaches us that there's not any authority that can be established unless it's established by God. So why are you fighting it? You know, Peter writes almost the same things in one of his letters in 1 Peter 2. Submit yourselves for the Lord's sake to every human institution, whether to a king as the one authority or to the governors as sent by him for punishment of evildoers. And it goes on, act as free men and do not use your freedom as a covering for evil, but you use it as bondslaves for God. Honor all people, love the brotherhood, fear God, honor the king. Honor. See, I feel like American Christianity today believes that a person can choose to disobey the government whenever they like, whenever they feel personally justified by doing so. You know, a great example is over the Second Amendment right now. You know, I continue to see Christians say that they will never agree to losing their rights. See, the problem with this, in my mind, is that there's no biblical support whatsoever for what they're fighting for. That's evidence in what Paul has written in Romans 13 that I read. You see, Scripture upholds the position of the biblical submission. With a Christian being allowed to act in civil disobedience to the government if it commands evil, such that it requires a Christian to act in a manner that is contrary to the clear teachings and the requirements of God's word. I mean, have you ever seen or heard, if you haven't watched it, man, you should watch it. It's a great movie. Have you ever watched the movie Hacksaw Ridge? It's a true story, right? I've watched it several times about Desmond Doss. And, you know, he went to Okinawa without a, like, he didn't have a gun. He never carried a weapon because of his beliefs. He was persecuted as he was going through basic training by the men in his unit, because he was going to be a liability. And then here he is. He becomes this legend for saving 75 men during a battle in Okinawa. He never carried a gun because he was in the business, his words, right? He was in the business of saving lives, not taking them. You know, I'm not sitting here saying that we all need to be Desmond Doss. But I'm saying there's no place in the Bible that I can find that says I have a Second Amendment right. But I do see where it says that I'm supposed to be subjective to the governing authorities. Now look, I love my Second Amendment right. I'm not trying to say we shouldn't have them, because we should. I think we should. But that's because they're part of the Constitution. Not because it's my God given right. And if the government decides to change that legally, then we're supposed to follow it. Now, I will legally fight against it, just so you guys know where I stand, right? Because I'm not saying it's okay. Our country was founded based on these rights. But that has nothing to do with my rights from God. I am still supposed to love the people who are trying to take away that. You know, we're blessed that right now we live in a country that we can freely worship as we choose. That we can follow the teachings of Christ without fear of persecution. You know, not everyone is so lucky. I mentioned, you know, Egypt and Iran just two examples. And recently I read that the fastest growing church today is in Iran. I talked about it earlier in this podcast, but I feel like we have to really understand. This is a place that for following Christ, they can and will be executed. This is a place that is legal for your family to kill you if you leave Islam. But Christianity is growing faster there, underground, than any place else. The leaders of the church there hide and meet in the dark. They travel outside of the country to meet other church leaders for their own safety. This is a place where a large percentage of the church leaders are actually women. Why is it growing so fast in countries like this, like Iran, but it's on a steady decline in America? It's a hard question to answer, but it's one that we have to start asking. And I challenge you to really think and pray about it. I believe that American Christianity, the fire and brimstone message, we are never going to be good enough message that so many people use today is the reason. Instead of loving everyone the way Jesus has taught us, we condemn them. Instead of walking along the people that need us, we walk away. Instead of helping people walk out their sin, help turn them to Christ, we tell them they're going to go to hell. Is that what Christ would have done? Would Christ have just told you after you sin that you're going to go to hell and there's no saving you? If he wouldn't have said that to you, why would you say that to somebody else? Look, I know that not everybody would or has done that, but I promise there are people listening that have. Why would you say you're a sinner and you're going to hell instead of walking alongside them and helping them? To me, it seems pretty logical, right? I'm not saying that we have to ignore sin. You know, I'm not saying that we should just allow anybody to do anything they want. We should lovingly say, hey, that's an issue, one-on-one, just like the Bible says. Not put them on blast on social media. But even if they don't turn from their sin, we're still supposed to love them. I don't know where you are in your walk with Christ, but if you're trying to be more like him every day like I am, then make sure what you put out publicly shows it. You know, there was a movie a couple years ago that I saw on Pure Flix. I don't remember the name, and I didn't go look it up for this. But it asked a question, and that question was, if you were on trial for being a Christian, would there be enough evidence to convict you? That's a deep question. Does your social media show you a faithful follower of Christ? Or does it show you someone that condemns and hates everyone who disagrees with you? I hope this message makes you think. Because researching it and putting it together has really made me think about how I act. Has made me think about how I treat other people. There's people in my past that I've walked away from that I never should have. And I regret that. And I'll make up for that. But how do you act? I hope you really think about that. We need to change and follow Christ faithfully the way he would if we're not. Not everybody's got to change. A lot of people are doing it. Amazing. And praise God they are, because those people got me where I am. Look, it's Rick. I hope this message blesses you. Again, this is the Nomad Pastor Podcast. You can subscribe on any of your podcast platforms of choice. If you like this message, share it with a friend. Tell people about it. Let them know. Maybe they'll get something out of it that you did, or maybe they'll get something that you didn't. We don't know. If you have questions or concerns or thoughts, or if you want to be a guest on the show, send me an email at hello@nomadpastor.org. I just want you to have a blessed week. Thanks.